WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Sean Ryan not only created the Shield, but has stayed aboard as executive producer since its premiere in 2002. In preparation for planning this seventh and final season, he went back and watched all the old episodes of the Shield. There was no need, though, for Sean Ryan to revisit the previous cop series he had written, Nash Bridges, the CBS series starring Don Johnson. Terry Gross spoke to Sean Ryan in 2006, and he told her Nash Bridges was much more of an entertainment show than a realistic portrayal of police work.
That was very much a hero show. So Don Johnson's character, Nash, really couldn't screw up very badly. He always had to have the right intentions. You know, so if something went bad, it wasn't because, you know, any human foible of his caused it to go bad. And, the shows, ended happily. The crimes were always solved. And he was a straight up hero. And you know, if there was any problem with Nash, it was that he just couldn't quite make whatever his current relationship with a beautiful woman quite work out because he couldn't commit. That, that was like the one big character flaw, quote unquote. It was a very successful show. It ran for 6 years, and that's the way that show needed to be for what it was. But, there was a hierarchy that, Nash was the one that needed to solve the crimes. He was the one that needed to swoop in at the last second. You know, one of his underlings was never the one that, was the hero of the day and would save it. So it was those kinds of things, especially the intentions. You know, these were cops to look up to, and they always had the innocent public's best interests at heart.
Okay, now you can't say that happens in The Shield. I mean, some of the cops at the center of The Shield, particularly the star of the show, the character played by Michael Chiklis, I mean, he's not only corrupt, he's kind of sadistic. He really enjoys violence. He
has a few flaws. I wanted to write in the gray areas. You know, I'd written a very black and white show for 3 years and been successful doing it, and the show was successful. And it was my job to, to service my bosses and presenting them with the material that they wanted, and I worked hard to do that. There were just a lot of sacred cows. You know, for instance, on almost every TV cop show I'd seen in the 90s or in the late 80s, the heroes would be like the detectives, and the boss, the captain, would be a minority. And it was television's way of saying, well, we acknowledge that it's a multi-ethnic universe, but we're not going to sort of put them forefront. And additionally, our minority captain is going to be above reproach and, isn't going to have a bad quality at all. I looked at Edward James Olmos' character in Miami Vice. I looked at James McDaniel's character in NYPD Blue, Yaphet Kotto's character in Homicide. All these shows sort of had this thing. And so my first thing was, well, you know what? I'm going to have a minority captain, but everyone's going to hate him. and everyone's going to think that he's a quota baby that got the job, because of his race, not because of his talent. And not everyone's going to look up to him.
You know, you're talking about trying to break the rules of some of the shows that you really admired. Now, in shows like Homicide and Law and Order, there's some like fabulous interrogation scenes, and you really admire how well these cops, how brilliant some of these cops are at interrogating. In the pilot, and excuse me for going all the way back to the pilot, but although I've been watching the series for some time, I never saw the pilot until last night on DVD. So it's really a brilliant episode. It's like maybe the best pilot I've ever seen. But anyways, there's three separate interrogation scenes in that, and each of them are really different. Each of them serves a different dramatic purpose and reveals something different about the person doing the interrogating. Would you just talk about how you used each of those interrogation scenes to do a whole lot of dramatic work?
Yeah, Homicide, like I said, Homicide really was my favorite show, and I was always impressed with their interrogation scenes, especially the ones involving Andre Brower's character. And really what I took from that show was that interrogation scenes in good dramas are about the detectives. They're not about finding out the truth of a case. They're not about just furthering plot. So I wanted to find out, Dutch has a few scenes with this pedophile. where he just goes along and sort of shows empathy for, you know, for how you can be attracted to young girls. And it showed the sort of gamesmanship and mindset that he was willing to get into to break this guy. And then we had, you know, a very sort of infamous scene with Vic Mackey and another pedophile kidnapper near the end. And we saw just sort of how ruthless he could be. But those scenes were designed to get into the characters of our detectives and find out who they are, which are far more interesting interrogation scenes than just browbeating people until they tell you that they did it.
Well, yeah, and you know, Dutch, the cop who's interrogating the child molester, the first time he really gets into the guy's head, and he's basically saying, "Say, do you believe there's a gay gene? Do you believe that, like, people are born gay? Well, if people are born gay, maybe people are born to be child molesters, too. I mean, I understand what you're going through." And that's very effective. But then he does it again on another child molester, and the child molester's attitude is like, "Hey, I know the game you're playing, and it's not going to work on me. I'm smart, too."
Yeah.
And then the third time, like, Vic Mackey, the Michael Chiklis character, goes in and just, like, beats the confession out of him. And the contrast between those three interrogation scenes is so interesting dramatically and in what they reveal about each of the characters.
Yeah, there's a time for each of them, I think. And, you know, what I was really trying to get at is that, yes, it is tempting to resort to brute behavior at times, and sometimes it can be even effective, but is that what we want? And what I wanted through the other story, through the interrogation with pedophiles, to see how it's tempting to give law enforcement people sort of unlimited power to do anything to solve these heinous crimes, because there's a slippery slope at the end of it, because when you give them power to act on your behalf, don't be surprised when they take that power to act on their own behalf.
Sean Ryan, creator of The Shield, speaking to Terry Gross in 2006. We'll continue their conversation in the second half of the show. I'm David Bean Cooley, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bean Cooley of Broadcasting and Cable Magazine and TVWorthWatching.com, in for Terry Gross. The FX police drama series The Shield just began its seventh and final season. And today, we're featuring several of Terry's S.H.I.E.L.D.-related interviews. Right now, we're continuing Terry's conversation with Sean Ryan, who created the series. In Season 5, Forrest Whitaker guest-starred as an investigator with Internal Affairs. He was looking into whether Vic Mackey killed a cop on his strike team after learning that cop was cooperating with Internal Affairs on a corruption investigation aimed at Vic and his crew. In this scene, Whitaker is interrogating Mackey's ex-wife. The actress is Kathy Ryan, who, in real life, is married to Sean Ryan.
Remember Terry Crawley?
Sure, he was on Vic's team.
Do you remember any change in Vic's behavior leading up to Terry's death?
No, but he was pretty torn up afterwards. We all were.
I'm sure it was terrible. Terry was working for justice, investigating your ex-husband's team for corruption. Planted evidence, extortion, kickbacks, laundry list of things. When Vic made Terry as working for the feds, we believe that he and Shane Vendrell murdered him.
Vic's a lot of things, but he's no killer.
Because he's a survivor, he'll do whatever it takes to protect himself, his team, and his family. Are you really trying to tell me that after 12 years of marriage, you don't think that man is capable of pulling the trigger on someone who's trying to take away everything from him? Everything?
You need to stop that.
Don't cry. I don't want to see you shed one single tear. Because tears imply that you didn't know. And don't you sit here and tell me that you didn't know, Mrs. Mackey.
A clip from Season 5 of The Shield, when actor Forrest Whitaker was a season-long guest star on the show. Let's get back to Terry's 2006 interview with Sean Ryan, creator and executive producer of The Shield.
Forrest Whitaker is just really extraordinary in his performances each week. And, you know, at first he's really kind of ingratiating and likable to the people who he wants on his side, who he wants to win over. And then he could just, like, on a dime, just, like, turn around and be, like, so just kind of tough and mean and unpleasant.
Manipulative. And,
and what?
Yeah, manipulative.
Manipulative, exactly. Manipulative, yeah. But
well, what you have is you have a guy who's an internal affairs detective who plays by the rules, who's trying to bust a cop who killed another cop and who beat suspects, and yet who does our audience root for? they still root for Vic, and they have found themselves justifying that by really hating Kavanaugh, the character that Forrest Whitaker plays. And it's been fascinating for me to watch. And what's been so unique about this, I mean, you know, it's easy to get bored after a number of years working on a TV show if you're writing the same thing. And we're always looking for what's something new to write. And what has been fascinating for us is we have this great anti-hero in Vic Mackey, you know, who you root for some of the times, root against other times. You know, you like what he's doing, then you don't like what he's doing. But we've brought in this character played by Forrest who I've heard somebody term him as an anti-villain. he's trying to destroy your hero. He's doing what he can to do that. And yet, under most circumstances, he would be the hero and Vic would be the villain in almost any other piece. And so we've been able to sort of take him and show his flaws and show his good side and his ugly side. And yet it's completely turned around for the audience. You know, people want Vic Mackey to get away with this. And it's just intriguing for me to see that.
Now, you were explaining before how when you worked on Nash Bridges, there were certain rules as a writer that you had to follow to keep the character consistent and to keep him appropriately heroic. And you broke a lot of those rules when you created your series, The Shield. Does The Shield have its own rules that you have to present to new writers who come on board?
Yeah. There are certain things you don't want to box them in too much. You know, what's interesting is that no matter, and this really is a credit to Michael Chiklis, who plays Vic. You know, Michael has such charisma and is so likable that what I've found over the years is there's almost nothing that we can have Vic do that many of our viewers won't find a way to forgive him or apologize for him. And I found that fascinating. They will, you know, the audience has become an enabler of Vic Mackey in that they will provide the excuse for why he had to do something for which there really is no excuse. And it's one of the reasons why in this current season, this fifth season that we only have, as we talk, we only have two more episodes still left to air. I wanted to bring back that murder. People and viewers, I think, had sort of driven it to the back of their mind. And he's done so many good things and closed so many cases and brought so many violent criminals to justice, you know, in the interim, that it's easy to sort of forget that, well, yes, but this guy also did this. And, you know, wanted to bring that back to life.
Sean Ryan, thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure, Terry. Thank you very much.
Sean Ryan, creator of The Shield, speaking to Terry Gross in 2006.